The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Tara from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you some excerpts from Food and Wine magazine. I thought we might start with something that's a little bit close to home and seasonally appropriate. This is in the Easy Bake section. Raise the Bar, inspired by Atlantic Beach Pie. Those bold, boozy citrus bars are a sweet, tart summer treat. Atlantic Beach Pie is the epitome of a simple pantry dessert. Crushed saltine crackers, sweetened condensed milk, citrus juice, sugar, and eggs, all you need to assemble this sweet treat from Chef Bill Smith. What started in 2011 as an ode to lemon pie in his hometown of New Bern, North Carolina, became arguably the most famous dessert to come out of his Chapel Hill restaurant, Crook's Corner. We used the leftover lemon juice from the bar and whipped cream instead of meringue so the pie could hold through service, says Smith. I never expected it to go viral. But lines formed around the restaurant, and the recipe was widely shared across the nation. Smith's phone hasn't stopped ringing to this day. This article, by the way, is contributed by a writer named Brianne Killian. She says, while I'm a fan of the original Atlantic Beach Pie's combination of sweet and tangy filling, cracker crust, and whipped topping needn't be limited to a pie format. For a handheld riff on the now classic dessert, I created these citrusy lemon-lime bars, which have a few more adjustments that take them into the over-the-top territory. Tequila, lemon, and lime zest, and a bit of ground ginger give a fun, boozy boost to the filling. And because I can't stand the thought of wasting the egg whites, only the yolks go in the filling, I top the bars with torched meringue. Can you use sweetened whipped cream instead? Of course. But no matter what you do, be sure to thank Bill Smith for the inspiration. All right, so let's take a look at this recipe, Atlantic Beach Pie Bars. And you may want to check out this podcast, have that pause button ready. You can go through each step with me. It takes about 45 active minutes, and it's a total of 4 hours and 10 minutes of preparation and creation. And it makes about 16 bars. Topped with toasted meringue, these lemon-lime custard bars are spiced with ground ginger and spiked with tequila. If you're short on time, swap the meringue for lightly sweetened whipped cream for an equally delicious summer treat. Use the bottom of a dry measuring cup to press the saltine cracker crumb mixture into a compact, even layer for a sturdy crust. Okay, so for the bars, here are the ingredients you're going to need. Baking spray with flour, one sleeve of saltine crackers, half a cup of unsalted butter melted, 3 tablespoons granulated sugar, 1 can of sweetened condensed milk, 4 large egg yolks, 1 teaspoon of grated lime zest, plus a quarter cup of fresh lime juice, which is about 2 limes, plus more zest for garnish. 1 teaspoon of grated lemon zest, plus 2.5 tablespoons of fresh lemon juice, plus more for zest garnish. 1.5 tablespoons of tequila, that's about 3/4 of an ounce. And a half teaspoon of ground ginger, and 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt. Now for the meringue topping, you're going to need 3 large egg whites at room temperature, 3/4 cup of granulated sugar, and 1/8 of a teaspoon of kosher salt. So to make these bars, you're going to preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Coat an 8-inch square baking pan with baking spray. Line the bottom and the sides with parchment paper, leaving about a 2-inch overhang on 2 sides. Lightly coat parchment paper with baking spray. All right, now step 2, stir together crushed crackers, melted butter, and sugar into a medium bowl until well combined. Then firmly press the mixture in an even layer in the bottom of the prepared baking pan. bake until the crust is slightly golden and just set, which is about 13 to 15 minutes. And transfer the baking pan to a wire rack and let that cool for about 15 minutes, but leave the oven on. Now whisk together the condensed milk and the egg yolks in a medium bowl until smooth. Whisk in lime zest and juice, lemon zest and juice, tequila, ginger, and salt until well combined. Pour that mixture over the crust and spread into an even layer. Bake until the center is set, about 20 minutes, and let cool on a wire rack for 1 hour. You're going to transfer the pan over to the refrigerator and chill uncovered until cool, about 2 hours. Meanwhile, let's make that meringue topping. So pour water into a depth of 1 inch in a medium saucepan and bring that to a boil over medium-high heat, reducing heat to a medium-low to maintain a simmer. Then stir together egg whites, sugar, and salt in a medium-sized heat-proof bowl. Place the bowl over a saucepan of simmering water, ensuring that the bottom of the bowl does not touch the water. Whisk egg white mixture constantly until the sugar is dissolved. 2 to 4 minutes should do that, adjusting the heat as needed to maintain a simmer. Now, with the bowl still over the simmering water, beat the egg white mixture using a hand mixture on medium-low speed until foamy, about 1 minute. Gradually increase speed to high and beat until the meringue forms medium stiff peaks, which should take about 2 to 5 minutes. And then lift to remove the bars from the pan using parchment paper overhang. Cut into 16 squares, pipe or spoon a dollop of meringue, about 1 tablespoon onto each bar, and lightly toast that meringue using a kitchen torch if you want. Garnish with additional lime zest and lemon zest. You can make those bars ahead. Bars can be prepared through step 3 and stored, covered, and in the refrigerator for up to 1 day. For a non-boozy version, substitute tequila with 1.5 tablespoons lemon juice. Use a high-quality ground ginger, such as burlap and barrel buffalo ginger, available at specialty spice stores or online at burlapandbarrel.com. Well, this next recipe needs no oven, no cooking required, and it is a perfect, refreshing summer treat. It's a recipe for watermelon gazpacho. Active time is about 15 minutes, but total time, about 1 hour and 15 minutes, and it serves 6 people. Topped with a zesty mix of chopped scallions, cilantro, and jalapeno in fresh lime juice, this chilled soup is both refreshing and vibrant. Watermelon brings a juicy sweetness that balances the tangy notes from tomato and sherry vinegar. Refrigerate the gazpacho for at least 1 hour to allow the flavors to meld. So your ingredients for this watermelon gazpacho include 1 small seedless watermelon, about 4 pounds, with the rind removed. 3 English cucumbers, which should be about 2 pounds, and they should be peeled and seeded. 2 cups of chopped tomatoes, which is about 4 tomatoes. 1/4 cup of sherry vinegar. 1.5 teaspoons of kosher salt, plus more to taste. 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper, plus more to taste. 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, divided. 6 scallions, thinly sliced, about 2/3 of a cup, 1/2 cup of chopped fresh cilantro, and 1/4 cup of fresh lime juice, which is about 2 limes. 2 small jalapeno chilies should be seeded and minced, and that's going to be about 2 tablespoons of those chilies. Okay, so how do we make it? Step 1, you're going to cut that watermelon into 1/2-inch cubes to yield about 2 cups and set aside in a medium bowl. Coarsely chop the remaining watermelon. Place 3 cups in the blender. You can reserve any remaining watermelon for another use. Step 2, coarsely chop 1.5 cucumbers. Place in the blender with watermelon. Cut remaining 1.5 cucumbers into 1/2-inch cubes and add to the bowl with the watermelon cubes. Step 3, you're going to add tomatoes to the blender with chopped watermelon and the cucumbers. Process until smooth, which should take about 1 minute, and then transfer to a large bowl. There you're going to stir in vinegar, salt, black pepper, and 1 tablespoon of oil until it's well combined. Stir in cubed watermelon and cucumbers, and then cover and refrigerate that soup until it's well chilled, about an hour. Step 4, stir in the scallions, cilantro, lime juice, and jalapenos all together in a small bowl, season with salt and pepper to taste. And then step 5, season that chilled soup to taste with salt. Ladle the soup into bowls, drizzle evenly with the remaining 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and then top with that scallion relish. That recipe comes from Gabriel Fresca and Amanda Leiden. And make ahead tip. It says soup can be stored in an airtight container in the refrigerator for up to 1 day. Stir well before serving. And they recommend that if you would like a wine pairing, try a light-bodied, light, tingly wine. They recommend a 2023 Cervetto Blanget Lange Arnaise. All right. Speaking of wines, Sunshine in a Bottle is the name of this next article, written by Lucy Simon. Vino Verde is made for warm weather sipping. No wine improves poolside hangs, beach coolers, and patio happy hours quite like Vino Verde. While the region at the northwestern tip of Portugal makes wines of all colors, it's the white, or Branco, bottlings that have made Vino Verde synonymous with refreshing, please-cool-me-off quaffing. Vino Verde is really everything you want in a summer white. Light on the palate and low in alcohol, with crisp acidity, lemon-lime aromas, and often a touch of effervescence. Not a serious bargain. There are lots of excellent bottles for $20 or less. And quality is only getting better as growing interest from the global market, not to mention Portugal's quick ascent to being one of the hottest vacation destinations in the world, has reinvigorated winemaking in the region. Vino Verde is a wine that can be light and playful or structured and serious, says Julian Alencar, general manager and beverage director at Leito, a Portuguese restaurant in New York City. But beyond its easygoing nature, many producers are now showcasing the complexity Vino Verde can achieve by aging the wine on lees or in oak, giving it more texture and depth while still keeping that signature liveliness. This bracing white wine is made from grapes indigenous to the region, among them Albarino, often vinified on its own and more commonly known in the U.S. by its Spanish name, Albarino, Durero, and Arinto, along with lesser-known grapes like Trajadura and Aveso. Most often, Vino Verdes are blends. Read on for 12 great bottles to grab now. And there are 4 Albarinos listed. I think we'll share those. 2023 Avaleda Solos de Granito, the $20 bottle. Vino Verde DOC is known for granite-rich soils that can impart a lovely minerality to wines like this one. Winemaker Carla Mora uses lees contact. Lees are spent yeast from fermentation to add texture and ages the wine in stainless steel. It's richer than many Albarinos, with lemon and fennel flavors that get even better as it goes along. All right, this next bottle, coming in at about $21. It's a 2024 Soljero Clásico Albarino. In the 1970s, the Cerdeiro family planted entire vineyards of Albarino in the northern sub-region of Melgacho. And good thing, Soljero wines do not miss, as Albarinos are some of the most elegant Vino Verdes around, and the entry-level Clásico bottling is no exception. Expect green mango, lemon zest, and a ton of texture. 2023 Symington Family Estates Casa de Rodas Albarino, coming in at around $30. Known best for its port wines, the Symington family tapped winemaker Anselmo Mendez to make the brand's first vino verde. It comes from Casa de Rodas, an estate in Moncao, founded in 1566, and is richer and riper than most Broncos, balancing notes of spice, lemon peel, yellow grapefruit, and grassy herbs. All right, and this one is a pricey one, coming in at $65, so we're really getting the full range here. 2022 Luis Ciabra Granito Cru Alvarino. With tangerine, lemongrass, and seashell aromas, this complex white proves that vino verde can be poured for special occasions, too. Luis Ciabria's terroir-driven line of Cru wines showcases the best vineyards in the region. His lovely Granito Cru Alvarino is, as its name suggests, made from grapes grown in granite soils only. All right, so those are some of the Alvarinos that you may want to grab if you are heading to a lovely summer get-together. And looks like there are a variety of price ranges, and you're sure to find something that will add that special liveliness to your get-together. All right, so we have time for an article about pickles. It's called Pickles 101, and it's by Brianna Killian again. Pickles are a shortcut to a more satisfying bite, instantly adding a little tangy zing to summer's parade of sandwiches, grilled barbecue meats, and salads. There are countless pickle brands to choose from at the grocery store. For the best ones to keep in your pantry and refrigerator, see Best Pickle Brands opposite. But they're also remarkably easy to make at home. Cucumbers are a popular choice for pickling, but pretty much any ingredient can become a pickle, from a hard-boiled egg to green beans. And what goes in the pickling liquid? Fresh herbs, garlic, and just about any whole spice in your pantry. The options are endless. Here's everything you need to know to become a pickle pro. All right, so pickle terms. There are three listed: dill, sour, and bread and butter. So what's a dill pickle? A dill pickle is any cucumber pickled with dill. If the dill pickle jar is labeled as kosher, it has nothing to do with kosher laws, says Emily Pastor, author of The Joys of Jewish Preserving. Rather, kosher dill pickles include garlic as well as dill in the brine. Vinegar-brined dill pickles are zippy and crunchy and easy to make at home. Sour. Half sour and sour pickles are fermented in a salt brine. A sour pickle is one that is left to ferment all the way, so it is softer, more olive green, and has a strong, puckery, fermented tang to it, says Pastor. Half sours ferment for a shorter time to make a milder, crispier pickle with a greenish color. And then finally, bread and butter. Bread and butter pickles emerged during the Great Depression, when meat and cheese sandwich fillings were scarce and cucumbers plentiful. Sugar in the pickling liquid makes them sweet and only slightly acidic. They're most often pre-sliced and vinegar brined with onions, mustard seeds, and turmeric. All right, let's talk about pickle types. There are two comparisons here. First one is vinegar versus fermented pickles. Vinegar pickles are made by immersing vegetables or fruit in a heated combination of vinegar, salt, water, and sometimes sugar. They tend to be very crisp, with a pronounced sourness thanks to vinegar's acidity. Fermented pickles acquire their tang through weeks of fermentation, a process that converts the ingredients' natural sugars into lactic acid. Fermented dill pickles are generally less crunchy and have a more subtle sourness than their vinegar brine sisters. Most store-bought pickles are made with vinegar, but if you're on the hunt for fermented, look in the refrigerator section of your grocery store. The jars will have a cloudy brine. All right, next under pickle types, shelf-stable versus refrigerated pickles. At the grocery store, you'll usually find both shelf-stable and refrigerated pickles. Shelf-stable pickles have been canned, meaning their jars have been heated to a temperature that kills bacteria, allowing the pickles to be stored at room temperature for years if properly sealed. Refrigerated pickles have not been heat-treated and are generally crunchier and less sour than canned ones. So-called refrigerator pickles, also called quick pickles, are vinegar pickles that are ready to eat after a couple of hours. Note that all types of pickles, canned or not, vinegar brined or fermented, must be kept in the refrigerator once they've been opened. Okay, now as promised, best pickle brands. What makes the perfect pickle? We consulted Master Preserver April McGregor. A great dill pickle has a satisfying, audible crunch, a pucker that gets you right in the salivary gland, a punch of garlicky, briny aroma, and enough salt to tame the acid, she says. With that description in mind, we tasted 12 of the most popular brands of dill pickles to find our favorites. And this was contributed by Amelia Schwartz. Best overall, 365 by Whole Foods Market Dill Pickle Spears. Whole Foods refrigerated pickle spears blew us away. The firm, crispy cucumbers are vinegar-forward, but that acidic tang doesn't overwhelm the more subtle aromatics of garlic and black pepper. Eat this dill pickle on its own, sliced on a sandwich, or diced in a salad dressing. And don't forget to make cocktails with that punchy brine. The best shelf-stable pickle goes to Vlasic Kosher Dill Spears. Vlasic pickle spears are just like the dill pickles you'd get at a sandwich shop or Jewish deli, bright green and perfectly sour. Like most shelf-stable pickles, they're on the flimsier side, but they're still firm enough to have a satisfying snap. Use these pickles to make a tangy relish, batter and fry them for a delicious appetizer, or serve them alongside a hot pastrami sandwich. The crunchiest. And this award goes to Clausen Kosher Pickle Dill Pickle Halves. If you love snacking on pickles straight from the jar at any time of the day, Clausen is the best brand for you. Their never-heated, vinegar-brined kosher dill halves are the crunchiest pickles we tried, and they also have a complex, bold flavor thanks to Clausen's signature spice blend, a combination of garlic, turmeric, and dried red pepper. Most like homemade. The winner in this category was Grillos Pickles Dill Spears. Packaged in a tub full of whole garlic cloves, fresh dill, and grape leaves, Grillos Pickles look and taste just like the kind of quick refrigerator pickles you could make at home. The salty vinegar brine is less intense than other brands, making these pickles an excellent addition to anything that needs just a hint of tang, like a patty melt or tomato soup. And finally, best budget pickle. This category went to Good and Gather Organic Kosher Dill Spears. These shelf-stable pickle spears from Target are delightfully mouth-puckering, brined in vinegar and mild in flavor. The sour, bright green brine would be great in a martini, and the pickle's firm texture would hold up well on a Chicago-style hot dog. And for only $3.50 a jar, it's easy to keep lots of these pickles on hand. All right, and this next part to the pickle special is called Don't Toss the Brine. Pickle brine is liquid gold. Here are five ways to use it up from Audrey Morgan. First, add zip to dressings. Use pickle brine the way that you would use lemon juice or vinegar in a dressing, and it'll make for a garlicky, slightly herby vinaigrette, says McGregor. Try adding a splash of dill pickle brine to the dressing for coleslaw, potato slaw, salad, or tuna salad. Here's another way to use it. Number two, brighten soups. Think of pickle brine like a vinegar-based hot sauce, says McGregor. It has that seasoned acid, but it's not spicy, she notes. Add a dash to soups and stews that need a little boost of flavor. The acidity will brighten and enhance the existing flavors. Number three, brine with it. McGregor will often use pickle juice to brine poultry like chicken thighs or turkey breasts. I sometimes cut the brine with buttermilk if I don't want it to be as vinegar tangy, she says. All right, next one, add it to a cocktail. Pickle brine is here for all of your savory cocktail needs. McGregor especially recommends it for Bloody Marys and Dirty Martinis. The brine is really doing a lot of the work of seasoning and adding that acidic punch. And finally, pickle again. You can make a second or even a third batch of quick pickles by simply using the leftover brine as your pickling liquid instead of vinegar. The acidity will be more diluted, so sample the brine after 24 hours and season to taste with salt, vinegar, and spices. So how do you pick the best cucumbers for pickling at home? Variety matters. Pickling varieties like Kirby have thicker skins and sturdier cell walls that hold up to the fermentation process. Even though they are a nice pickling size, bumpy, thin-skinned Persian cucumbers can become mushy. Freshness is key. Choose cucumbers that are bright green, firm, and free of wrinkles. Never use cucumbers that are yellow, spongy, or shriveled. Size and shape. Look for small, slender cucumbers that are 3 to 5 inches long and not more than 1.5 inches in diameter. Cucumbers that are bloated in the middle are overmature, seeded, and will not hold their crunch. That was contributed by, again, April McGregor. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Tara, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long, until next time. And if you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. I would love to get your input. Again, that number is 919-832-5138. And my name is Tara. Feel free to drop me your favorite recipes for summer or maybe even for fall. Looking forward to hearing about them and trying them myself. Thank you.